Dear faithful, today is the eighth Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle for the Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, the eighth chapter. Brethren, we are debtors, not of the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you shall die. But if by the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. For whosoever are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again in fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption of sons, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. For the Spirit himself giveth testimony to our spirit that we are the sons of God, and if sons, heirs also, heirs indeed of God, and joint heirs with Christ. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 16. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. There was a certain rich man who had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said to him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for now thou canst be steward no longer. And the steward said within himself, What shall I do? Because my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. To dig I am not able, to beg I am ashamed. I know what I will do, that when I shall be removed from the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. Therefore, calling together every one of his Lord's debtors, he said to the first, How much dost thou owe my Lord? But he said, 100 barrels of oil. And he said to him, Take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. And he said to another, And how much dost thou owe? Who said, 100 quarters of wheat. And he said to him, Take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward for as much as he had done wisely. For the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of light. And I say to you, Make unto you friends of the mammon of iniquity, that when you shall fail, they may receive you into everlasting dwellings. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. Give an account of thy stewardship, for now thou canst be steward no longer. Words taken from the Gospel of the Mass, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, one of the greatest saints raised up by God in modern times was St. John Bosco. St. John Bosco had a special vocation to care for poor and abandoned boys who were so numerous in the industrial centers of Italy in the 19th century. St. John Bosco cared for them materially, of course, but his primary concern was that the boys under his charge become good Catholic gentlemen and save their souls. And to help St. John Bosco do this, God granted him many special graces. One of these graces was the gift of dream visions, in which different saints and even Our Lady would appear to St. John Bosco to give advice on how to help his boys. On one occasion, St. John Bosco related the following dream. He dreamt that he was in a great valley enclosed on all sides by mountains. At one end of the valley was a bright light, while the other end of the valley was overcast and evil-looking. St. John Bosco was accompanied by some other priests in this dream, and he asked them where they were. But as soon as he had asked the question, he heard the sound of a trumpet blast, and an unknown voice cried out, We are in the land of trial. At that moment, boys began to pour over the top of the mountains and rush down into the valley. St. John Bosco recognized some of the boys as his students from his oratories, but most he had never seen before. Then the saint saw that a large horde of animals had come forth from the darkness on the far side of the valley. There were lions, there were snakes, there were wolves and other monsters that he had never seen before. The animals rushed forward from the darkness and began to attack the boys as they entered the valley. Now each boy had a weapon to defend himself. Each carried what looked like a two-pronged pitchfork. And as St. John Bosco looked closer, he saw that the tines of the fork were labeled Confession and Holy Communion. And the boys were able to drive off the wild animals with their weapons. But St. John Bosco also saw that many of the boys were wounded in the battle. Some fell to the ground, and the beasts quickly devoured them. And these boys, the saint saw, carried rusty or bent pitchforks, the handles being worm-eaten and rotten. For these boys had made bad confessions and bad Holy Communions. They didn't use their weapon properly. Now, after the battle was over, St. John Bosco again heard the trumpet, and a voice cried out, "Victory!" The sky over the valley brightened, and the saint saw that all the boys who had been victorious were wearing crowns of glory. The Blessed Virgin Mary appeared, and she gathered all the boys who had been crowned under her mantle to show that they were her children. And St. John Bosco related this dream to his boys, and he explained to them the great power, of course, of confession and communion. And he also pointed out the danger of abusing these tremendous sacraments. Now, in the Gospel today, my dear faithful, our Lord tells the story of a man who had abused or wasted his master's goods. This man was a steward or an overseer of a large estate, and to him was confided the care of the house and the grounds that belonged to the owner. And one day a report reached the ears of the master that the steward, in whom he had placed so much confidence, was abusing his office and wasting the goods that had been entrusted to him. So the master summoned the steward and said to him, "How is it that I hear this of thee?" In other words, he asked the steward to reflect upon the serious nature of the offense that he had committed and the trust that he had betrayed. And then the master commanded him, "Give an account of thy stewardship." That is, hand over your account books, your ledgers, your receipts, anything connected with the business I entrusted to you, because now you can be steward no longer. My dear faithful, there will come a point when we too are called upon to render an account of our stewardship. We all have many things placed at our disposal by the goodness of God, our talents, our health, even the time that we live here on earth. God does not owe us these things. He gives them to us in trust to be used in accord with His will. As a certain priest writes, all the goods we enjoy in the interval between our birth and our death are held only temporarily. God does not give them absolutely. He lends them to us. And as St. Paul says, we brought nothing into this world, and certainly we can carry nothing out of it. And so at the end of our lives, not only will we be held accountable for the use we made of material goods, but more importantly, we will be held accountable for the use we made of God's spiritual gifts, his greatest gifts, in particular the sacraments of confession and Holy Communion. These two sacraments so necessary in the work of our salvation, especially today when the devil has many weapons at his disposal. We need Holy Communion to be the food of our souls. We need confession to heal our wounds if we fall into sin. But these sacraments will not save us unless we make the proper use of them. In fact, if we abuse them, our punishment will be the greater. As St. John Bosco saw, those among his boys who misused confession and communion were overcome by sin and they were lost. The day of judgment, we will have to answer for the neglect of these sacraments, or, heaven forbid, bad confessions and bad communions we may have made. God will say to each one of us, give an account of your stewardship. Show me how you used my gifts. Show me how you made use of my mercy in the confessional. Show me how you received the sacrament of my love at the altar rail. And if we have used these things well, then our soul will be well prepared to give an account of our stewardship. Now, how can we be sure that we are using the sacraments as God intends? Well, of course, if we have had the misfortune to make a sacrilegious confession or communion, there must be no delay in making it right in the confessional. The priest is another Christ, and we know that Christ came not to call the just, but to call sinners. So if something is bothering your conscience, simply tell Father about it, and he will make it right. But it sometimes happens that our confessions and communions, though they are good in the sense that we do not receive them unworthily in the state of mortal sin, still they could be better if we remembered to put into practice the basic means recommended by the Catechism. For example, when you receive the sacrament of penance, recall to mind what the Catechism says we have to do to receive this sacrament worthily. The Catechism gives 5 basic steps. First, we must examine our conscience. We have to put aside sufficient time before entering the confessional to examine our conduct since our last worthy confession and make a sincere effort to call to mind sins we may have committed. Or better yet, set aside time each night to examine yourself over the course of your day. We must also have sorrow for our sins. We must realize the enormity of our crimes, the great pain they caused our Lord to suffer, who gave every drop of his blood to save us from these sins. And this is a very important step, this contrition, or stirring up this contrition before entering the confessional. For without contrition or sorrow for sin, there can be no forgiveness. Next, we must resolve never more to offend God. That is, here and now we must be determined to avoid near occasions of sin in the future and to pray for help in times of temptation. Then we must confess our sins to the priest, and in doing so we must tell him the kind and number of our sins as nearly as possible and with all humility. And finally, we must accept the penance which the priest gives us. That is, we must accept the penance wholeheartedly as a means of making up in some small way for the injury we have done to God. And we must say the penance in a timely manner. It must not be put off unnecessarily or rushed through it just to get it over with. And if we do these things, we have made a good confession. We have used the sacrament of penance in accord with God's will. Likewise, when you approach the communion rail, remember again what the Catechism says is necessary to receive Holy Communion well. It says to make a good communion, besides being free from mortal sin, we must also be free from all affection for venial sin. We should think about that. We must also be free from all affection for venial sin. That is, we must see all venial sin, uncharitable thoughts, angry speech, little lies of convenience. We have to see these things as being an offense against God, second only in gravity to mortal sin. We must be really determined to avoid these venial sins in the future, of course, with the help of God's grace. And that must be our attitude when we approach the communion rail. And the Catechism says we are to make acts of faith, hope, and love. When you receive our Lord into your heart, tell him that you believe in his real presence. Tell him that you hope to receive from him all the graces you need for your salvation. And tell him that you love him more than anything or anyone in this world. And if you make these acts each time you approach the communion rail, you will keep your holy communions from becoming routine. And you will show God that you appreciate the gift of himself. And finally, St. John Bosco says, both holy communion and penance must be received frequently if they are to have the effect upon our lives that God intends. St. John Bosco promised his boys that those who used the sacraments well would save their souls. No question about it. He would make the same promise to us as well. So remember that the sacraments are the gifts and the proofs of God's love. Someday he will ask us what use we made of them, if we have used them according to his will or if we wasted his goods. And if we have used them well, then we shall hear from our Lord those words which he spoke in another parable. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.